Amen. Please open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Here in the adult class, for those of you that haven't been with us, just to bring you up to speed, we've been going through a short series of lessons. This is a season to celebrate. And I know it's a new year, and with that in mind, tonight we're going to talk about how it's a season to press on. And it's important for us to run our race well. God has put us all on a course, and we trust Christ as our Savior to run a course, a path, a track, if you will, for Him. And we want to do that faithfully. And we've had a great time to give thanks, to celebrate, to rejoice in the birth of our Savior. We've been challenged to worship Him, to rejoice in Him, to proclaim to others the good news of Jesus Christ, because He was born to save. And tonight we want to answer the challenge that we would run well the race that God has set before us. So if you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's word tonight. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. I believe that it's no surprise to God that you're here tonight. I believe that it's no surprise to God that this would be our text. I believe that the message has been ordained by the Lord. And I believe that God has something to say to each and every one of us tonight. So I hope you'll listen with ears to hear tonight, a ready heart to hear and obey, because I want the Lord to use all of us in a greater way in 2019. And so please listen to the word tonight and ask the Lord to speak to your heart while we look to His word tonight. Hebrews chapter 1 or 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. I pray that You would convict our hearts tonight. Give us a burden to run harder and run more faithfully for Your glory. Lord, that we would not faint, but that we would look unto Jesus, that our eyes would be fixed on You. Help us to put away the things in our lives that are hindering our running for You. And Lord, help us to put on the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might bring You honor and glory. Please help me now, for I'm nothing without You. Please bless Your word and help us to be obedient to Your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Every year, more and more people have New Year's resolutions, but they really don't change much. Lose weight, get a better job, get more education. I'm going to do more charity, volunteer more. There are a lot of things that people have as New Year resolutions, but we spiritually ought to have a heart and a desire that we're going to be more Christ-like, that we're going to be more fit spiritually, that we're going to do more for the glory of God in the new year. Too many times, though, the new year, new you attitude doesn't last very long. Almost 25% of people who set New Year's resolutions don't keep them past the first week of January. And almost everybody gives up on their New Year's resolutions by the second week. And that's kind of sad, but that's the reality of it. Because it's easy to say, I want to lose weight, and I want to be in shape, and I want to eat better, and I want to get more education or a better job. But to actually follow through on those things takes dedication. It takes a long-term commitment. And so many people set unrealistic goals. So many people aren't really prepared. They don't know how to start. They don't know how to keep going. They're not able to maintain focus. And unfortunately, those things kind of filter into our spiritual resolutions as well. But we need to understand the nature of the Christian life. In our text tonight, he gives us an analogy of running a race. And we see in other places in Scripture where he gives us an analogy of warfare. And the reality is that living for Christ is spiritual warfare. Now, warfare is not fun and games. Warfare is serious business. Warfare takes serious dedication and faithfulness. And so the scriptures give us these challenges, such as 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I'm not just out here swinging at nothing. I'm fighting. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. And when you fight that good fight of faith, you can finish your course with joy. Paul was able to say in 2 Timothy 4:6 through 7, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now here's the reality. Nobody in this room knows when your course is going to be over. Nobody in this room knows when their fight is going to be finished. Now, I hope all of you live long and fruitful lives in the Lord's service. I hope everybody here gets to live to be 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100 years old. I hope you give it to live a long and good life and live to a good old age in serving the Lord. But here's the reality. None of us know when that day may come. And if I'm going to be found faithful at the end, I have to be faithful today. If I'm not faithful today, then I won't be found faithful in the end. Listen, friends, all we have is today. And the way that you get to the end of your life and are able to say, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course, is to be faithful day in and day out. We ought to dedicate our lives completely to the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves for the race. Look back at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that, of course, refers back to chapter 11, where we have the heroes of the faith, and we see by faith Abel by faith, Enoch by faith, Noah by faith, all of these different men and women of God accomplished incredible things by faith. It wasn't them, it was God who did great things because they believed God. And when we think about all of those who come before us and all that they've done for the Lord, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so we've got to, first of all, remove the hindrances. We've got to get rid of some things. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, I just got to do a quick poll. How many of you have ever had ankle weights? Buddy? All right. How many of you guys still have ankle weights? Just curious. Okay, man, I remember when I was a kid, Dad had ankle weights. They were the coolest thing in the world. And he had several sets, and I would put as many as I could, and I couldn't hardly pick my feet up. And it was awesome. But I would wear those around the house for a while. It was the hardest thing in the world to wear them around the house. I mean, you just couldn't run at all. But then you took them off. And for just a little while after you take those things off, man, you can fly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, if you don't know, you need to get some ankle weights. You need to go home and put on as many as you can, wear them around for about an hour, and then take them off, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Listen, so many times in our life we have hindrances. I mean, nobody's going to get out, and you guys all know I was a track star in high school. My greatest achievement in school was that I was the most improved trackster. Still got the plaque in the attic or somewhere, I think. Amen, that's right. You don't win very many trophies. You hang on to a few, okay? But you never go to the track. You never go to the track meet, to the race, and you leave your ankle weights on. That would be stupid. But too many Christians today still have their ankle weights on. We still have our training wheels on. We still got the weight rings on our bat when we go up to the plate. We can't do that. You can't be effective when you go to war. You've got to take the weights off. When you're going to run the race, you take the ankle weights off. When you go up to bat, you take the weights off the end of your bat. When you go to war, you don't have the training wheels on. You've got to take those things off. And part of what he's saying in the scripture is we've got some things in our life that are hindering us, and we need to get rid of them. It's time to stop playing around, and it's time to get to business. The time that you ought to be teaching other people, you still have need that somebody teach you. And some of you need to get off of the milk and onto the meat of the Word of God. You need to quit sitting on the sidelines and get to work for the Lord. You need to quit sitting around doing nothing and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get to work. We need to put away some of the hindrances. Now, I think too many people get confused about this because we start talking about hindrances. Most of the time we say, well, some of those weights are things in our lives that aren't necessarily sin, but they're things that keep us from serving the Lord. Maybe the shows that I watch on TV, they're not really that bad, but you know, they keep me from studying my Bible. Let me help you out. If you're watching TV and you're not studying your Bible, that's not a weight, that's sin. Let me say that one more time in case some of you weren't ready. If you're watching television instead of studying your Bible, like I didn't study my Bible today, but I watched my favorite TV show, that's not a weight, friends. That's a sin. That's a sin. I'm not saying you can't ever watch TV, but if you put TV ahead of your Bible, then that's sin. You guys go ahead and say amen. I'm begging you to say amen because I'm telling you the truth. You see, too many times what we call weights aren't really weights at all. It's sin. It's sin. So there's something to that. There are some things in our lives that maybe they're not necessarily wrong, but we put them in the wrong place, and so they become a wrong thing. Well, that's sin. But we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So we've got to get rid of the weights, and we've got to get rid of the sins. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And we've got to put off the old man. We've got to put off the old ways. And whatever it may be, your sin may be anger or bitterness. Your sin may be lying. Your sin may be lust. Your sin may be any different thing. But when there's sin in our life, we need to put it out of the way. And friends, we've got hobbies, friendships, habits. We've got activities and things that come into our life that occupy our time, take away our focus, and they keep us from running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to put those things off, and we've got to put on the new man. We've got to put on the new man. There's a principle of replacement, friends. When we lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, we put off the old man. We've got to put on the new man. How many of you be honest that at some point in your life you've listened to music you ought not listen to? All right, my hand's raised too. Well, back in the day, you couldn't just stream the music into your phone. You had to buy some type of media. Some of you had to buy 8-tracks. Some of you had to buy vinyls. Right? And they were 45s, and what was the other one? What? 78s, thank you. 33s, all right, good. That may be outside of my scope. Some of you had to buy cassettes, and you had to have a pencil handy, and maybe a piece of tape. That's right. God bless you. Yeah, your finger just the pinky. Pinky there for the end, right? Thank you, old people. I appreciate you tonight. I remember when CD players first came out. My cousin, you know, that was my rich cousin. they were the first ones to have a CD player. It was this big. You know, it was huge. And it played one disc. It's not like it was a changer, just one. But it was incredible. He brought it in. I remember him setting it up, hooking it up. I'm like, the quality is this is just amazing. And he played a CD, and I couldn't tell any difference. through our lives, we've had to have this media. And I remember when God got a hold of my heart about the music I was listening to, and I had all these CDs that I invested a lot of money in these CDs. And I remember God got a hold of my heart, and I thought, I can't listen to that anymore. And my first thought was, who am I going to give this to? And my second thought was, I can't give that away. I wonder how much I could sell it for. And then I thought, I can't do that. Sometimes the Lord has to slap me upside the head. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that, but spiritually it's like the Lord just pops me upside the head. And I thought, if I can't listen to it, then I can't help anybody else listen to it. So I remember taking all of those CDs and breaking them in half and throwing them in the trash. And I want to tell you, it was a glorious thing to do that. But there was a void because I had spent time and money, invested time and money in that music. I had to replace that music with good music. Everybody get me? Because if you leave a void there, it creates a vacuum and something else will get sucked into that place. And if you're not intentional about what you invest in, you're going to fill that void up with something as bad or worse that was there before. Amen. We've got to have that principle of replacement. Put off the old, but put on the new. So we've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We get rid of the filthy music. We need to fill our music repertoire with good, godly, Christ-honoring music. When you watch filth on the television, you need to stop watching that filth, and you need to first put God's Word at the top of your priority list. And if you've given time to God and you do have some leisure time and you do want to watch something, you need to replace the trash you were watching with something beneficial. And friends, that's not easy to do today. But there are things that you can watch that will benefit you. And so we've got this removal, but then we have this repentance. We've got to put off concerning the former conversation. We've got to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. If we're going to lay it aside, the idea of this phrase, lay it aside, doesn't mean to set it to the side so you can come back to it later. This word, lay aside, means to put away once and for all. It's not that you take your dirty magazines and put them up on the closet shelf. You take the dirty magazines and burn them. You get rid of them. You put it away once and for all. Be done with it and go on. And that's the picture that he gives us. The sin that does so easily beset us, that sin that constantly discourages or brings us shame, that sin that we continually come back to, that sin that we just can't seem to get rid of, God's calling us to lay it aside, to put it away, to be done with it once and for all. And I want to tell you tonight that only the Spirit of God can give you the power to do that. I hope nobody in this room has experienced this like I have, where you have a besetting sin, a sin that continually trips you up, that you keep coming back to and keep coming back to. But I have been there, and I'm here to tell you today that you come to that place where you fall on your face before God and you're so broken and so ashamed that you've done it again. I'm here to tell you tonight that you just go one more time and plead for God to give you mercy and to forgive you. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll continually come back to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And He will give you victory over that sin if you'll be truly repentant. To run a good race in 2019... we've got to prepare for it. We've got to put the weights off. We've got to put the sin off. We've got to get ourselves ready to run. We also need to have not only a preparation, we need to have the right pace. We need to have the right pace for the race. A lot of times we don't set the goals we should to be more faithful in our personal devotions, to be a better family member, to be a better husband or father or child, or to do better in serving the Lord in the church. Because a lot of times we don't even want to set the goal because we know it's overwhelming to even think about it. It's overwhelming to think that we can do it, but I want you to know that God's pace is sustainable. He will equip you to run the race if you'll commit yourself to run the race. God sets the pace. In our verse 1, He says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He doesn't say a race, He says the race. Listen, I have a course that's been set for my life. God has a path for me. He has decisions that He wants me to make each and every day of my life that will make up my life. And Paul had his course. God had given him a course that he wanted to finish with joy. Well, my course isn't Paul's course. And my course isn't your course. But God has a course for each one of us to run. He has a place for you and a purpose for you. And we need to get on the path that He wants us on. This word race is the Greek word trekko. It's the word that we get track from. And so we need to understand that we all have our race to run. And it's individual. It's for each one of us. Just quick survey again. How many of you have ever run track? That's good. All right. How many of you have run on a track? Like even if you weren't in a track meet or anything like that. See, I grew up at Bragg's. We didn't have a track. We had dirt and grass, you know. Then I made the big move from Bragg's all the way up to Vian High School, which was, that was a big step up. I know that's sad, but that's true. And we had a track, and when I ran track, I ran distance races, which when you run half mile or mile or 2 mile, nobody has lanes. Everybody just gets there up in a blob, and they shoot the gun, and you go. And but when you run some of the sprints, you have your lane that you have to stay in, and they're staggered out. And sometimes when you see a race like that start, 100 or 200, when they're going around the corner, the 200 or the 400, when they're going around the corner, it's hard to tell who's in the lead because they're staggered out. Well, listen, when you're looking at other people trying to figure out who's in the lead, that's not very smart anyway. What you need to do is focus on your lane. When you're running track like that, you have to stay in your lane. And if you get to looking at somebody else, it's going to mess you up. And too many Christians are too worried about whoever else is in their lane and what everybody else is doing instead of just putting their eyes on Jesus and running their race. And that's what all of us need to do. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And too many of us fall into this trap. We're always looking at everybody else. Some of you look at everybody else and you think, man, they're doing so much better than I am, and I could never be as good a Christian as they could be. And it's not wise to do that. For one thing, you're probably wrong. They're probably not doing near as good as you think they are. Others of you are looking at other people and think that you're doing so much better than them. And you're thinking, man, I've kind of got this going. I'm doing really well. And you turn back to look at the people behind you. But guess what? You're wrong. You're not nearly as good as you think you are. Listen, if you're running a race and you're always looking around at everybody else, the only thing that's going to do is slow you down. The only thing that's going to do is slow you down. We had a guy on our track team that always was looking at everybody else, and coach was always on him. Quit looking behind you. Quit looking beside you. Look to the finish line, and those things are so helpful for us. Christ is at the finish line. We need to set our eyes on him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at this with me. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or has self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." When we are going to run this race for the Lord, we can't worry about what everybody else is. We're not competing against each other. We're really competing against ourselves. My goal is to be the best I can be for Christ. And your goal is for you to be the best you can be for Christ. And we're to encourage each other and help each other, but I've got to be what God has called me to be. I want you to notice that if you're running for the mastery, if you're striving for the mastery, you have to have self-control in everything. In verse 27, he says, "I bring under my body and bring it into subjection." We've got to learn to control our appetites, to control ourselves. People who are successful in athletics, they don't just win their competition in the weight room, they win their competition in the kitchen. Listen, I don't know if you are aware of this, but you ought to look it up sometime and study some of the diets of Olympic athlete. I can't think. Whew. Yeah, athletes, thank you. That happens every once in a while. It just all goes away. And you're up here all by yourself with nothing, not even a thought. You ought to look at the diets of Olympians sometimes. I mean, their workout regimens are crazy, but the way that they take care of their bodies is in everything in their lives. They eat right. They sleep right. They drink the right amount of water. They take care of themselves mentally and physically, and it's every part of their lives. That's the only way they can do it. And too many times as Christians, we think we can compartmentalize that. I can do good at church and then do whatever I want to at home, and friends, it won't work. You're not going to be successful in the things of the Lord. We've got to keep our eyes on Christ. Nobody runs forever. Every day is a gift from God, and there's a set length of time that we're given to be on this earth. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The psalmist said, teach us to number our days, 70 at the most, 80 years. Job understood that our days are numbered. God knows, he tells the number of them. And friends, we need to work and run and fight for the Lord today. Life is short. Don't squander your time trying to worry about somebody else's course or comparing yourself, but invest your life wisely and keep running. He says, let us run with patience. Let us run with patience. Too many times I remember going to track meets. I never had this problem because I was slow, so it wasn't temptation to me. But too many times we run the mile or the half mile or 2 mile. A lot of guys, when the gun went off, man, they take off like a shot, like they're running the 100 meter. And they, by the time you get about 100 meters in, they're spent. And they're ahead of everybody for a while, but pretty soon they're at the back of the pack because they've burned themselves out. And too many Christians are like that. Man, they take off with all this fervor, but pretty soon they're fading back. This is not a sprint, friends. It's a marathon. God wants us to run with patience. He wants us to run. That word patience means endurance. He wants us to run and keep on running. We win our race one step at a time, one decision at a time. We start out this new year. We've got our Bible reading schedule. I hope you guys have seen it. We're going to do a 3-year Bible reading program, and I hope you're doing that. And you read about a chapter a day, and you can study and meditate on those things throughout the day. You don't have to read through the Bible by the first week of January. Your life doesn't have to be as if you've been saved for 100 years within the first month. We just have to keep going. And when you fall down, you have to get up and get going again. It's just one step at a time, one decision at a time, one good decision, one spiritual decision after another, to wake up and do your devotions, to be a witness, to hand out a gospel tract, to be faithful in church, one step at a time, being faithful to the Lord, to have patience and endurance in the race. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And friends, I want to be found faithful when the Lord comes again. In Athens long ago, they had, that was the beginning of what we have, the Olympics today, and we still have this tradition that's based on this race. They still have the torch that's brought in, and they light the flame lighting ceremony at the beginning of the Olympics. How many of you ever watched that? And they carry the torch for thousands of miles. Well, in those days, they had a torch race at that time, and they would start, and of course, it was honoring their false gods, but here's the point. All of the runners had a torch that was lit at the beginning of the race, and they had to run to a certain arena where they would come in to the finish line. But the one who won the race was not the one who got there first. The one who won the race was the one who got there first with his fire still burning. Now listen, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, friends, you've already won. The victory is yours. But I don't want to come into the arena. I don't want to come into his presence with my fire burned out. I want to come to the presence of the Lord. I want to fall at his feet with my fire still burning for Christ. Still having a passion. Still having the things stirred up in my heart. Still in love with Christ. Still being faithful to the Lord. Still having a passion to reach the lost. I want to have a burning fire in my soul when I see my Savior. Too many of us have let our fire burn out. Too many of us have no zeal for the things of God. Too many of us don't have any passion anymore. Too many of us are just going through the motions and just kind of getting by. And friends, as we start our new year, we need to look at our hearts. We need to examine ourselves. We need to see whether we still have a passion for the things of God. And if we don't, we better ask God to stir something up. When you look into your heart and you go, I don't have any zeal. I don't have any fervor. I'm not revived. That's a problem. We shouldn't be okay with that. We should come before the Lord and plead with him to set our hearts on fire. We're not running for a temporary prize. We're not competing against each other. What are we running for? How about verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're running for a person. He's the one who died for us and rose again. Paul was running for Jesus. He said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And his goal was to know Christ and to be known of Christ and to make Christ known. He was running for Jesus, friends, and that's who we're running for. We're running for Christ, to know him and to serve him. Success by the world's standards is going to change over time, but God's word never changes, and Jesus Christ never changes. I want to be a real follower of Christ. Our heart's desire would be to follow Christ, not to just admire him from afar, but to really know him and to walk with him. He who endured the cross. He endured the cross. The word endure literally means to abide under. What endure means that is you're under a tremendous burden, but you courageously keep moving forward. And Jesus Christ, when he went to the garden, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he was in great agony as he considered the cross, but he courageously pushed through the agony all the way through the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. But what is the joy? What's the joy of the cross, friends? What's the joy that's on the other side of the cross? The joy on the other side of the cross is the resurrection. The joy on the other side of the cross is that you and I can have eternal life. Jesus Christ endured everything he endured for you to be saved. You are his joy. You are the crown of rejoicing. It's you. And so we look to Christ and how he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. It ought to motivate us that we would endure whatever temptation comes our way. James 1:12 said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And those Olympians in that day, they ran to win the race, and they got a laurel, a crown that was placed on their head for a little while. It was a temporary reward, but God has given us life everlasting, and what rewards we gain by faithfully running for him will give him glory forever and ever. "For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." The suffering of Christ serves as an example for us that we would not quit. Beth Ann DeSantis was attempting to qualify for the 1992 Olympic Trials Marathon. The qualification rule stipulated a female runner must finish the 27-mile race in under 2 hours and 45 minutes. Beth Ann was making great time, but she started having trouble around mile 23 with about 4 miles to go. She started having trouble. 200 yards from the finish line, just 2 minutes left, she stumbled and fell. She struggled to her feet and started walking. And she fell again with only 10 seconds to go. She was determined to finish the race, so she pushed up onto her hands and her knees and she crawled across the finish line with 3 seconds to spare. And she qualified for the Olympic marathon. I think about the dedication that people have to their sport. And so many things that we see in athletics are, they really are heroic. People who push their bodies to the absolute breaking point. But what's it for? They're willing to sacrifice their time. They're willing to sacrifice their bodies. They're willing to brutalize themselves so that they can compete, so that they can strive to win a gold medal, a gold ring, so their team can hold up a trophy. All of those things are going to be burned up one day. We have something much greater to run for. And yet, how little are we willing to sacrifice? We don't want to give up too much of our time. We certainly don't want to give up our bodies. We don't want to brutalize ourselves for the cause of Christ. What you do for Jesus Christ is worthwhile. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for Christ is worthwhile. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are your goals for the new year? Want to lose weight? Want to exercise? Quit smoking? Eat better? You want to be a better husband, a better father? Spend more time with your kids and grandkids? You want to be a better wife, a better mom? You want to be a better student? You want to do better at your job? You want to get an education? You want to make more money? Many of you have lots of different goals, things that you would want to, but a dream without a plan is a wish. If we just in our back of our mind say, I want to do better for Jesus this year, but we don't have any specific goals in mind, if we don't set those things in action, we're never going to achieve anything. Nothing's going to be different. We're going to come around to the end of this year, should we live that long, and we'll be in the same place we are today. So I want to ask you tonight, what are your goals? What are your dreams? And I would challenge you to think about it and pray about it and set some goals. And yeah, have some goals for your family. Have some goals for your career. Have some goals for your education. That's all good and well. But above all, have some goals for your life for Christ. These goals, these dreams that I want to be a soul winner for Jesus. I want to be bold in my witness for Christ. I want to study my Bible more faithfully. Whatever it may be, listen to me. Dream big. But write down your dreams and then figure out what goals you'll have to do and write down some specific goals. Write down your goals and give yourself a time limit. Break down those goals into bite-sized chunks, things that you can do, action items that you can take every day and every week. And then every morning, wake up and review those things to remind yourself what you're going to do. Maybe you say, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul. That's a good goal, isn't it? I pray for that regularly. Father, please make me a soul winner. I want you to use me to bring other people to Christ. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, man, I don't know. Well, first of all, I ought to pray for that. Write that down. Ask God to make me a soul winner every day. Let's see, what else could I do? Well, I could carry gospel tracts with me everywhere I go. I can write that down. Carry gospel tracts everywhere I go. What's that mean? I grab a stack of tracts tonight on my way out the door. You ladies, you can put them in your purse. Fellas, you can put them in your truck or your car. I'm going to have gospel tracts with me everywhere I go. That's one of the ways, one of the things that I can do. I'm going to hand out a tract every day. I'm going to hand out a tract every day. I'm going to make sure I go out of my way. I'm going to make sure I hand out at least one tract every day. Write that down. Friends, you can take this and apply it to anything you want to. I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. I want to be a better husband, a better father. We're going to have family devotions every day. We're going to read the Bible and pray together as a family every single day. There's so many things that we can do better. We've got to set some achievable goals, write down some action items, some activities that we can do every day, and we've got to come back to it every day. Otherwise, we'll forget. And will quit. These things are worth remembering. These things are worth doing. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Consider him. Tonight, as you consider Christ, consider what he's done for you. I want to ask you, is your torch lit? Is it still burning? Are you running for Christ? Where you're standing tonight or right up here at this prayer altar, I plead with you to ask God to stir up your heart, to give you a passion for him, to help you run more faithfully for him in 2019. If he's convicting your heart, friends, you come right now, because this is a season to press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to run for the Lord Jesus Christ. You come while we sing.